Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin', y'all? PSA Hip Hop, man. Watch, what's good, my G?
What's good, my brother? What's poppin'? You heard?
Yo, let's talk about it, my dude. NBA talk, you know how we give it up here, man. You want to talk about your Golden State Warriors, bro? What's going on, man?
Okay, let me just say this. I got money. Let me tell you. I put money that the Warriors would at least be the number 5 seed in the West. I have a money bet on that. Now, I completely jumped out the window because this is how I was looking at it. When you think of the Warrior team that won 73 games, they had Draymond, Clay, and Steph.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I'm thinking, well, they got Steph, they got Draymond, they got D'Angelo Russell, who was an all-star, and then they'll eventually get Clay back. What I completely misunderstood and did not appreciate or respect was the supporting cast of Sean Livingston, of Iguodala, the bench,
yeah.
The big man JaVale McGee, how he contributes. Like, I didn't, and you know I'm someone who is a veteran for life type of dude. I always argue I'm strictly about veterans. I don't believe in young players, new players. I ain't about all that building through the draft shit.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry, Ramona, and with Rachel Nichols, because I watched the jump today,
right.
When they broke down that 9 players on the team are 23 or under,
oh,
my nigga, those
you
are
left out Quinn Cook also. You left out, they lost Quinn Cook also. He went to the Lakers. Continue.
Yes, yes, yes. I did not appreciate that. I did not appreciate and fully understand that this team was a bunch of young players who was never in the playoffs, who this is brand new to them. Still, this is unacceptable. Steph Curry should have at least 140-point game out right now. Like, I don't understand why he's not body-bagging these dudes. I really don't.
He can't just ask him to do by himself, though, brother. He can't do it by himself,
You have Draymond Green, fellow all-star, who you respect, who you give a lot of props to.
His Smash Brothers not dead, though, fam. That's the most important person you're forgetting about this equation. I know you mentioned his name, but not having Clay out there as your second, your running mate, what do you expect? Them shots are not going to be there for stuff. The defense can worry about stuff and let D'Angelo Russell, who I understand he had a great year in Brooklyn, but like I told you in the beginning of the year, when we talked about the Western Conference, I asked you this specifically, Watson. Is D'Angelo Russell going to come in here and knowing that he's not the man, when he was the man in Brooklyn, now you're going to ask him to his second fiddle, is he ready to do that? Is he going to be, oh, I don't know if I should take this shot. Am I going to make Steph mad? I don't want Draymond looking at me sideways. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
I think Steph and Draymond are going to tell him, we need you to score as much as possible. Like, my man,
right.
They got blown up by, like, 50. Like, they need an aggressive
to OKC. How do you lose to OKC the way they did, my G? Come on, OKC?
Listen, I can't accept it, man. That makes no sense to me. That makes no sense to me. And I'm going to be honest. I'm shocked. I did not see this coming. And I've already looked like I played myself. I already look like I played myself based on thinking that they were going to be good.
They're playing New Orleans right now. It's 27-23 in the second quarter right now. So I think they'll beat New Orleans tonight. I think they will.
I mean, how do you lose to
I don't think OKC is that trash, though. People trying to make it sound like, I don't think they're trash at all. I like Schroeder.
No.
Steven Adams is solid. And what's the guy they got from the trade? The young boy. What's his name, son? Oh, my God. I forgot his name right now, man. That's playing for the Thunder, B. God, what's his name, man? He got two. He's like a hyphen name. I'm mad I don't know his name right now, bro.
Right.
Mad I don't know his name right now. But, yo, OKC ain't that bad, though, fam. They not that bad, man. I mean, are you shocked Chris Paul is still there?
No, Chris Paul has the worst contract in the NBA right now. He has the worst contract in the NBA. Just think about it. Say you want Chris Paul. You got
the person I was talking about is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's what I was talking about from Kentucky.
Right.
He's a ball. Yeah, though.
So let me ask you. Do you have $42 million in cap space for one player to give Chris Paul right now?
Oh.
It's his contract. It ain't that people don't want him. Everybody wants him. He just has an insane contract that has 3 more years on it. Come on, B. So that's the only issue with that.
Yeah. My Knickerbockers, man. Struggling, my nigga.
No, wait, hold on. Like, hold up. Before you go to Knickerbockers. My man, that game with Brooklyn against Memphis was a fun, awesome game.
It was fun to watch.
And not only was it fun to watch, Kyrie's 27. He's in his absolute prime. It's like the man can score at will, and he can do anything on the court.
Wait a minute. I got to say this, though. Man. Kyrie was not playing like this last year in Boston, my nigga. I know it's 3-4 games early in the season. Is it
and
because
you know,
he didn't want to step on toes in Boston also? Is it kind of different also compared to in Brooklyn? He has to take these shots?
I don't know.
LeVert is nice, but...
Carl LeVert and Dinwiddie can play, man. They can play. He's finding that out, that they can actually play. But he's clearly the best player on the team. There's no doubt about it. I just think he's way more happier being in New York, and you can see it. And I like his positive attitude because, you know, my only fear with Kyrie was, is he going to mope and be
upset? It's still early, my nigga. It's still early. Don't worry. He'll get bipolar on you. Don't worry.
That's my fear.
He'll get bipolar on you.
That's my fear. But let me just say that was a fun game to watch, and let me just give you your props. You have been telling me about Ja Morant. You've been clear.
Yes.
That
since
this
last
dude
year, Murray State, yeah.
Is going to be nice. And I said, this guy does not have the NBA game. Boy, I'm looking crazy in these streets
that
right
boy
now.
Is nice, my dude.
He's doing shit. He was super athletic. Like, this was Westbrook type of athleticism that he was doing.
Dwayne Wade, almost Dwayne Wade, really.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Ill game, man. Didn't he block Kyrie shit too? Like,
yes.
Woo,
yes.
You ain't get confidence.
Yes.
If you're not gonna get confidence off of that, I don't know what. So, salute to Ja Morant. On our last NBA talk, I said, "Yo, I'm waiting for a backcourt to get at work to Dallas." So I want to salute my man C.J. McCollum and Dame Dollar for showing up and letting them know, y'all going to score on us, but we're going to score on y'all too. Y'all can't – we're not going to pull a Bradley Beal and not score no points. So I want to salute my man C.J. McCollum and Dame Lillard for not letting Luka walk all over them. Salute to them,
boys. Luka still had dope numbers, man. And I'm telling you, watching, don't be surprised at the end of this year. Luka's name is an MVP talks. I'm just saying. I'm not saying he's going to win it. I'm not predicting it.
Luka's name. What, can I say something? Porzingis looked all world.
Porzingis, I don't want to hear that right now, man. I don't want to hear that right now.
Like, let me tell you this
right
now. I don't
hear that, man.
Porzingis plays the way he played last night. He comes into that ball. My man, this is some different shit right here. He was for setbacks that Harden does. From three. No sense for Porzingis doing step back. Porzingis is 7'3". If he just does a fadeaway shot, you can't block it. He's doing step back fadeaways. That don't make
no
sense.
It's the part of the show. It's the part of the show I want to throw up right now. But,
my God, man. So Porzingis, man, lose.
Well, let me ask you this, though. We talk about tandems. We talk about tandems in basketball, right? Hold on. We talk about tandems in basketball, whether it's Russ and Harden, Clay and Steph. Who do you just talk about a second? Or CJ and Dame Dollar and all that. You're going to have to – Porzingis and Luka are going to be sitting at the table with these tandems, yo.
It's not sitting at the table. They might be the best tandem. They might be the best
I don't want to go there yet.
You putting him over Russ and Harden already?
James Harden mentally is not appreciating how great Russell Westbrook is. And to me,
how are you making that observation that quick, Watts?
Let me explain something. It is utterly indefensible, and you can make no excuses for James Harden. So, boys, wait a minute. His first game, 2-for-14. His second game, 3-for-18. There's no defense for that. There's no way you can say, oh, his shot is just off. Nah, man, your shot is not just off.
Why can't you say that?
Like that.
How you can't? Well, my nigga, why can't you say his shot was off?
The way he's playing. Let me tell you what's shocking his system. Russ is athletically better than him, and Russ can do anything he wants at any given time. James Harden.
Breaking news, fam.
I mean, you know what James Harden is used to? Everybody going to the corner, and I'm going to dribble the ball for the entire duration of the shot clock. There's no way Russell Westbrook can play like that. Russell Westbrook's not a spot-up shooter. He's not a three-point shooter. You cannot get any effective play from Russell Westbrook if he's standing in the corner waiting for the ball. But what happens? Russell Westbrook's first game, he got 16 rebounds. Russell Westbrook's second game, he gets a triple-double. Russell Westbrook is ready to play ball. James Harden, could you please join the NBA season? I'm begging you.
They're losing 45-33 right now in the second quarter to OKC. You want to know?
Let me just say this. Can I give you the tragedy of this?
All right.
If this doesn't work out, Westbrook is going to get blamed for it, not Harden.
Wow, you're going there already with it?
This is Harden's team.
So you're saying Russ is going to be the scapegoat?
Yes. But we know Russell's not the scapegoat because we see how he's playing. He's playing with effort, heart, and going all in. But if Harden does not produce, it's going to be blamed on Russell Westbrook.
Man,
and Houston is going to side with Harden.
They've only played two games, my G.
If they lose to OKC, man, give me a break. Give me a break, man.
Every game counts. They just beat Golden State.
Every game counts.
Right now it's 32-23, Golden State over New Orleans Pelicans. Are you ready to put respect on my son, young KD Brandon Ingram's name?
I'm ready to say Brandon Ingram is playing with a new lease on life. Because what's his name is hurt. Because
Zion's not there. That's what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah. He wouldn't play like if Zion was there. He couldn't. It's Zion's team.
It's 50. Golden State is up by 20 right now against the Pelicans. Up by 20.
They up by 20.
They're not playing tonight.
Are they up by 20?
It's 50-30 right now in the second quarter.
Good. Golden State is sick of hearing it. Draymond Green saying we fucking suck. Draymond Green, it's not that your team fucking sucks. You're an all-star. You're expected to do more this year because you have a team of young kids. You're the veteran. So you have to show up. You have to be more productive. You know what I'm saying?
But Green, you know Draymond's going to be productive. He's productive in other ways. You're not looking for Draymond to score 25 a night, are you?
No, I'm looking for Draymond to be better. No. I'm looking for Draymond to be better than he's been in his first two games. Right?
Yeah. Right now, it's 65-63. This is an exciting game right now. Watson, Philadelphia 76ers, and Atlanta Hawks. Your boy, Trae Young, they're about two points right now, man. Atlanta Hawks.
My guy, Trae Young.
Yo, I'm telling you right now. The Hawks, I think they might fight for that 7th to 8th seed, I think, this year, bro.
You know how dope that would be if they did that?
It would be. Even though I think Atlanta, I'm sorry anybody that listens to this show that's from Atlanta, but Atlanta's that's not a sports town. Let's call it what it is.
Really? Why would you say that?
It's not a sports town. They don't care about the Atlanta Hawks and the Braves. And the Falcons, maybe the Falcons, if that. Come on. One person I know
for the
Falcons
the final
is T.I. Sam, when the Braves are going to the World Series every year with the with Bobby Cox and those and Terry Pendleton and all those guys. Those fake ass Braves fans out here, man. Come on, I'm not doing that, son.
Wow. Why are you not, wow. not putting respect on me? How do you feel that
I gotta tell you what Trey's doing right now. In 18 minutes, Trae Young has 19 points.
Well, I told you that I'm going to send you Trae Young stats every game and compare them to Lucas every game. I told you I'm going to do that because I'm going to make you pay attention to Trae Young the way you pay attention
to
Lucas.
I like Lucas' game more than Trae Young's game. Basketball game. You don't see how.
I don't see how or why.
Lucas' skill set is better than Trae Young's.
Yes, I strongly disagree with that. Strongly.
How can you disagree with that, Wouts?
My eyes, the eye test. The eye test, what Skip Bayless says, the eye test.
Well, I mean, Luka was rookie of the year last year. And Luka, you already said yourself, you wouldn't be surprised if Luka's in MVP talks. Is Trae Young going to be in MVP talks this year? Well, he is the hardest.
No.
That's what it's called the way it is.
Trae Young's not white.
Let's not do that, bro. Let's not do that.
Oh, you're doing it. You're doing it.
The NBA is predominantly black sport, my dude. We're not doing that. Come on. What?
The NBA is a predominantly black sport that sets in the narrative that they pick who is going to be their rookie of the year or their MVPs, and they stay with it all season.
My nigga, stop with the conspiracy theories because you're trying to act like Luka should not have won that last year. Is that what you're doing?
No, he should have won it. But he's gonna never tell what they're gonna do. They're gonna do with Luka what they did with Larry Bird. They gave Larry Bird the rookie of the year, then they gave him the MVP the next year, just like that. And they're going to do that with Luka.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it's gonna be hard to do with Luka when Porzingis is gonna be putting up all world numbers. My fault.
Yeah, but I think he's still trying to find himself though. To be honest though, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think about Derrick Rose balling, man? Derrick Rose is having a solid couple of games here, bro. He got 20 to 11 night.
I love it. I love that Derrick Rose. Okay, I love it. And the question I want to know
is... It's bittersweet, though, Watts, because we've seen Derrick Rose the way he did the first couple of years he played when he was in Chicago, man. It's like Derrick Rose is a freaking highlight, man, to watch, man. It was a highlight, bro. Yo, I got to stop putting respect on your man, Andre Drummond's name, dog. I'll be shortchanging that cat sometimes. Dog, it's 83 to 80 right now, Indiana and Detroit, right? Andre Drummond got 16 points, 14 boards, man. Like, it's nothing. Like, did he get slighted?
No, I'm saying he's a walking double-double. That's what I'm respecting. Now, let me tell you this. I want you to officially say Bill Simmons and Byron Russello don't know what the fuck they talking about when they was talking about Dwight Howard.
I want you to acknowledge
that it was talking about when it comes to Dwight Howard, they didn't know what the fuck they was talking about. And they sounded so out of place and out of touch, and I knew they didn't know what they was talking about. And yeah,
that's what we're doing. Ben Simmons have a dope
Hell
podcast,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, dope podcast where they put out a statement and misinformation about Dwight Howard game. They did a full fucking hour talking about the most fascinating thing about watching the Lakers is Dwight Howard's game has deteriorated. He's garbage. He's the worst player. And I just watched how bad he is. And now what
that's
you got
truth.
To say, not
that's the truth.
They don't got on any, let me
that's
be clear
the truth.
To you.
My nigga, that's
Dwight
the
Howard
truth.
Listen, I know you, my nigga. You've been trying to run this Dwight Howard shit for like 3 years now. He's not the same dude no more, fam. Give it up. He's
not.
He is a walking double-double.
He's a journeyman. He's a journeyman. In this part of his career, he's
walking,
a journeyman.
A walking double-double without trying.
He's not
now,
a walking double-double. I wouldn't say that.
Maybe you're that he had that easy double-double when he made every shot. Maybe to you, you couldn't believe what you saw, but to me, that's all he's ever done as a journeyman.
Sam.
Dwight Howard has never not given you a double-double. Do you understand that? He's never not in his career ever.
What do you mean
he's
never given us a
double-double?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
He didn't average a double-double last year in Washington.
He didn't play. He played like three games.
He played a couple of
like
games, yeah.
But his last year in Atlanta
Remember when he was having those 24 points, those 24 rebound games?
My nigga, stop
remember
acting
that?
Like this happens all the time, my dude. Stop
acting
like this happens all the time, my dude. Stop it off.
My nigga, he's not even starting over JaVale McGee. He's not even starting over JaVale McGee. You're trying to be his lawyer?
You say it's not like it happened all the time. He's never played a single career in his life where he did not average a double-double. So
Dwight Howard was getting mad burned.
You saw what he did?
The nigga that's a scrub.
Did you not see what he did? And let me tell you something. And you know what I like about this now? You, Ryan Russell, and Bill Simmons, y'all going crazy. Because this nigga's going to get double-doubles, and y'all going to be like, oh, I'm so surprised. And then I'll pull up his Atlanta Hawks stats and be like, why are you surprised? This is what he's always been doing. So Bill Simmons, Ryan Russell, y'all played yourselves with that one. I'm not letting him get away.
Dwight Howard is still that dude. I cannot believe you acting like that on the show.
No, I'm not acting like it's still that dude. What I'm telling you is he is a player who gives you a guaranteed double-double if he gets the minutes. That's all I'm telling you. You watch the game.
He's a natural rebounder. Sam, can I ask you a question? Why is JaVale McGee starting over Dwight Howard? Come on. I mean, that's all you got to say at the end of the day. After that, I mean, whatever you're saying right now doesn't make
any sense. Do you know Dwight Howard does not have a guaranteed contract? Did you know that?
You tell me why. Why is that?
No, that's the point I'm trying to make. They're taking a risk because he had some personal issues in his life. Some personal issues that he had to deal with. And then he lost all this weight, so nobody knew what kind of shape. It was a gamble as far as they was concerned. And now they're going to find out? Like Bill Simmons and Ryan Russello going to find out? Y'all played yourself. Can't believe these niggas got the audacity. Oh, he can't play no more. He's the one. All right, good. I want them to keep that same energy.
I think they have a dope podcast. You don't think they have one of the best podcasts, basketball podcasts?
I do, but when they say something that I fundamentally do not believe or agree with, it throws everything off. Because they've been talking about
last year. Last year, you tried to sit up on the show and act like DeRozan was better than Kawhi Leonard. So, come on. We've all said crazy stuff. He's done it, too. Come on. Please don't lie. Yeah.
I was wrong. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I was wrong. You see how I can say that? Like, when I'm wrong and I know I'm wrong, listen, my man, I watched him win an NBA championship. I watched him single-handedly beat the Sixers. So, yeah, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I will admit that, especially if I'm wrong in basketball. Because in basketball, the great thing about basketball is you can be proven wrong. So then you have no leg to stand on. So I would have no leg to stand on if I still was arguing DeRozan was better than – I would have no leg to stand on. Now, I won't even play myself. But I'm going to make you, Ron Russello, Bill Simmons, put some respect on Dwight Howard's name. Watch.
My nigga, I'm not putting no respect on Dwight Howard's name at all. I'm just not.
Well, I guarantee you, he's washed.
Like,
I'm about to put some respect on. You telling me nigga was washed? We went 8-for-8 and had a double-double? It's washed? So let me ask you a question. If he keeps having double-doubles or comes off the bench with these performances, what are you going to say?
Well, I think he did that because Anthony Davis left the game, right? So they started. I don't know how it was. I think Anthony Davis had went back to the locker room when that happened. Memory serves me right. I saw a little bit of that game. Listen, Dwight Howard is not the same person anymore, man. That's all I'm saying, man. He's not the same person.
He's not.
Dwight Howard like he did at one point.
He's not. He's not, and I agree with you. Now, I just want to quickly ask you something. So, T.I. did an interview on the Breakfast Club today, and he was talking about his list. Remember he did that hip-hop list? And he was talking about how the list happened and how people are ranked higher than other people. And says, even though the list came out that way, it was a group. It was a roundtable discussion, and everybody had to agree how the list went out. So that's basically how it happened. It wasn't his personal list. He said Jay-Z called him. So for people who don't know who Jay-Z is, Jay-Z is the guy who's married to Beyonce. Because a lot of people don't
know
him. The man who's married to Beyonce, now I think you know him. Now you know who I'm talking about.
I know Sean Carter calling him.
the man who married to Beyonce, he said, called them, and they was talking about whatever. He said we were talking about some stuff, and he said, and they was like,
hold on. So T.I. went to the breakfast club and snitched on a conversation he had with Hov.
That's what we doing?
I'm asking the question.
Come on,
that we
come on, come on. Is that what we doing three right now?
Is that what he did? So if a rapper
talks about when they talked, or when they talk about studio sessions, so to talk about, if you talk that you was on the phone with somebody, you're snitching?
I wouldn't tell nobody conversation. I wouldn't tell people conversations you and I had off here. I'm not doing that.
Say that you're already trying to poison what I'm about to tell you. You're already trying to give it a negative outlook by saying that. And that's whack. That's crazy whack. So let me tell you what he said. On the list rated Pac over Jay-Z. Tupac, T.I. as of right now, rates Tupac over Jay-Z. Jay-Z asked him, yo, you really think Pac is over me? And T.I. said, yes, I do. What's your thoughts on that? That Hov wanted to ask T.I. why was Pac ahead of him on that list?
What's your thought about it?
I'm asking you, brother. I've been on Twitter ranting about it.
What is your thoughts about it? What is your thoughts about it? What is your thoughts about it, sir?
My thoughts about it is Jay-Z has holds T.I. in high regard, and obviously T.I.'s opinion matters to him.
That's his man.
You're
calling T.I. What they calling T.I. the Southern Jeezy at one time? I never bought into that, but that's what they called him at one time. But guys,
the Southern what?
Jeezy.
Okay. So what is your take that he's questioning someone who he knows and rocks with?
Why do you think he's better than me?
That's what he said.
Look how you don't know the connotation. How he said it.
And Tupac and T.I. reiterated, I rate Pac over Jay-Z.
You on social media acting like you agree with T.I. with him saying that, and you don't. I don't care how much you try to shit on Hov on his show, you don't co-sign that. So knock it off. Knock it off.
So I'm asking you, what do you think about Hov telling T.I. you really
telling
got Pac over me? You really think that?
Yeah, I wish I could see how he said it. I really wish I could have heard how he said it.
Why there got to be something else in a straight?
My nigga, he could have said it in a jokeful manner. He could have said that shit in a jokeful manner, my nigga.
You think that nigga nicer than me? Yeah. And he said, yeah, I do. That's it. Straightforward. While Charlamagne the God is running around talking about, Hov is the best, he's the greatest, I got Hov. Get the fuck out of here. Charlamagne the God, nigga. You don't even listen to rap, nigga.
Why you getting at Charlamagne for saying he got Hov is one of his favorite rappers, though? How can you get mad at somebody saying Hov is their favorite rapper?
He didn't say Hov was one of his favorite rappers. He said Hov was number one on my list, Everybody knows that. Like the sky's blue, need water to live. Oxygen is what we need to breathe.
Duh.
And Hov is number one. And I looked at him like, no, he's not. And what?
I think, so hold on. Let me ask you this. Is T.I. being disingenuous by saying that?
Nope. He's been 100% honest.
How do you know that? Because let me guess. To you, it's honesty. Because anybody shitting on Hov is honesty, right?
Was that shitting on Hov? Wait. How was it shitting on Hov when T.I. said Hov is one of the greatest lyricists ever, and he's top. He's at the top of the list. And eventually he'll probably be number one. So he didn't shit on Hov.
What do you mean eventually? Whoa. Let's dissect the word eventually for a minute. When does eventually happen? Like, is there a timestamp or eventually in a specific year?
That is what T.I. said. You got to look to the Breakfast Club interview. That's not me. You want me to defend why T.I. rates Pac over Hope? That's
no,
what you want me to do.
Not
I'm
at all.
Saying to you,
not at all.
I'm just saying to you, why did Hov ask him? You really think Pac is better?
Because Hov thinks that's blasphemy.
Could you elaborate on that, please?
You think you're slick. You know the cowboys to get at me, but guess what? I'll do it for myself because I don't give a rat's ass. What do you mean? What are you going to do for you, Watson? Elaborate
why. I want you to explain. To elaborate why you think Hov believes it's blasphemy that the most impactful rapper of all time is rated higher than him on a lot of people's list.
Tupac ain't been there since 96. Since September of 96.
Jimi Hendrix died in his 20s, and he's one of the most
impactful rappers of all time. Hip-hop music is different genre than all. Listen. I know y'all like trying to mix in all these other genre of music into hip hop. It's totally different when it comes to hip hop. The hip hop parameters and the way we classify shit, the way we rank shit, is totally different than other genres of music. Let's not do that. Come on, Watson. You're not doing
Who's had a bigger impact on hip hop? Who's had a bigger impact on hip hop? Ghostface Killer or Chuck D?
For me, Chuck D.
Ghostface Killer has 13 solo albums, plus many Wu-Tang albums.
Right, and a lot of them Ghost albums wasn't crazy, crazy. Now, when you say influential, I think Chuck D, what he's done for the black community, speaking on behalf of black people, that's always going to stand out. You get what I'm saying? When you have songs like Can't Trust It, Fight the Power, It Takes a Million, A Nation, Fit of a Black Planet, those albums always will stand the test of time to me.
I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. Those are the kind of arguments people make for Tupac and what his music meant to them. It stands the test of time. They don't go anywhere.
Why are you being the people's Tupac lawyer? Why are you trying to be Charlie Calvin with Tupac, though?
Do you know my first...
Why
are you...
I'm not making my nigga. Stop acting, my nigga. Stop acting.
Do you know...
Do you know
the first...
I'm not going to let you get that off.
Do you know the first Tupac song? No, because I'm giving you facts. Do you know the first Tupac song that I remember? They got me trapped. Yo, they can't keep a black man down. Do you remember that? Remember that video? Do you remember that?
Of course I'm going to get trapped, man.
That's my introduction. Hold up. That's my introduction to him. So you always
wait a minute. You didn't get introduced to Tupac from the same song with Joe Underground? Are you serious right now?
That was him spitting a verse. When he went, he put out his song.
When he got
a
baby
and
all these calls?
Put out the music that he wanted to. The first video I saw was, yo, they got me trapped. Yo, they came
up on PSA Hip Hop acting like he had Pac posters on his wall. This is amazing.
No,
to me.
No, I never had
Pac posters.
But I'm telling you that his greatness stands the
test of time. I'm not going to let you get that off. Let me ask you a question. You're asking questions, 50 Cent, 21 questions. Who meant more to you, Tupac or Jay-Z? Watson.
I listened to more Jay-Z.
Don't play yourself.
I listened to more Jay-Z because he put out a volume of work that I heard more.
And that you liked.
So I heard more Jay-Z. But in terms of watching impact, Pac had a bigger impact than Jay-Z ever had or ever could ever hope to have.
Well, let me ask you a question. In your hip-hop soul, Stop doing this.
Jay-Z has the most superficial lyrics in hip hop history. Meaning, this is what I mean when I say superficial. Lyrics about nothing. Meaningless lyrics.
Watch y'all pull your card. Did you not text me a Jay-Z quote the other day and say that shit was fire?
Hold on. You sent it on me right now. I'm gonna quote the quote I said.
to achieve this goal quicker, so all my weight wet. That's a fire line. That is a fire. But that's a meaningless line.
Yes,
that line ain't
of those.
That line
yes,
ain't about
millions
nothing.
Of those.
Come on. That, but here's my question. That's a dope quotable, but it's a meaningless line because it ain't about shit.
Why is it meaningless?
You done got them trapped. You can't keep a black man down. That resonates. That has more meaning. Who
okay.
Made a
okay,
house
so now I know that. See, this is what I like right here. When niggas like you want to put your backpack on right now and be acting like when niggas we spend conscious bars, they mean more to you, more to the masses than somebody that was talking freestyle. I hate this kind of hip hop music. Do that shit.
Like
these niggas because they spitting fucking that shit. Oh, they just a better lyricist than Hov. Fuck out of here, man.
Watch this. When Chuck D said Elvis was the hero the most, but he never meant shit to me. Yes, he straight out racist. The sucker was simple.
I love that.
Motherfucking man, John Wayne. Watch this. Yes, I'm black and I'm proud. I'm ready. I'm hype. Plus, I'm amped. Most of my heroes don't appear on no stamps.
That's
yeah, that's that more to me than Hov was saying. I'm from where they cross over and clap boards. No.
Whoa.
When Hov said cop and bro, hang them, ain't a lot. When he said that can't go play, we ballin'. You or not, ma? Yeah. Chuck D's lyrics meant more to me. Nigga, anytime.
Man, I hurt you so much that Jay gets love, man. Like, it hurt you. Like, it didn't hurt you. Let me ask you a question. Does it hurt you to say Jay's better than Biggie? So can we knock that off right now and let's keep it funky in 2019? I know for years y'all were trying to put Big over Jay. Well, we could knock that off right now, right, and kill those type of bullshit narratives y'all been trying to run for years, right? Can we kill that?
I'm not going to dignify that conversation. We had that already. And that's a losing conversation for you. It's a lost conversation.
Not,
you already lost that
lost conversation. I just feel that. No, I just want you to admit it finally.
You already lost that conversation.
I'm
going to
ask you that once a year. I'm going to ask you that once a year.
And
I actually lost shit. It's 1 year past.
It gets worse.
I didn't lose nothing.
History is not kind to that conversation. History makes that conversation bad. History makes that conversation bad.
My name is Over the
History
God. I should be rapping with a turban, my nigga. Over the God. I should be rapping with a turban.
What? Whoa, wait. Did you say that? Man, that shit was incredible. Brooklyn, New York City, where they paint murals of Biggie. Yeah, you're right. Yo, but that's Tyler Cawley. You know the guy that I argued was better than Kendrick Lamar, and I still argue that to anybody
Yo.
In their face? Yeah, that's Tyler, nigga.
Let me, hold on. You think Tyler Cawley makes better albums
yes,
than Kendrick Lamar?
Absolutely.
And
J.
Cole? And Cole?
Absolutely.
And Cole?
Dude on Twitter was like, yo, we're going to look at Kendrick Lamar 30 years from now like Chuck D. I said, no, we not.
Nah, I'm not going to give him to Chuck D. I'm not like Chuck D. I said, I don't know who said that, but I'm not doing that.
And let me tell you the card they playing. Kendrick Lamar got the Pulitzer Prize. Nobody else got that, so that make him better than everybody. That's what we doing now. Awards that white people give black rappers now. That's how we gonna be. That's how we gonna judge everything now. Really, that's what we doing. Anyway, I just wanted to get about T.I. and Jay-Z.
All right, my nigga, take us home, my G.
PSA Hip Hop, the home of John Morant. You got to pay homage to what this young boy's doing. Athletic version of D Wade. No, I'm not ready yet.
Who's not ready yet?
No, I said I'm not ready yet.
Alright. That's what it is, man. PSA Hip Hop, man. It's your boy 3 and Watch, man. Fuck with your boys, y'all know the vibes, man.
What?
back on live. Y'all know the vibes, man. PSA Hip Hop, man. It's your boy 3Letter, man. Let me get the legend on this show. We need to start giving some of these brothers that do battle rap their respect due while they're here, man. Main event, November 23rd, November 24th, Town Business, King of the Dot. Shout out Organic. I see you, my G. Soul Gone versus Diz. What's good, man?
What's popping, Letterman?
How you, brother?
Good, man. I'm excited about this whole shit coming up right now.
Now, let's stay right there, Diz. Are you excited because of the individual it is, or you're trying to put a block on somebody's return? How should
a
we look at this?
On someone's return? Nah, I mean, it's really more just the history. You know how much I appreciate the nostalgic and cloth and the history that comes with what we do in the timeline. So it's kind of just it's more of a timeline battle. You know what I'm saying? Something that's important. That should have happened a long time ago, but it's never too late for, you know what I'm saying, high profile matches like this to happen. You know what I'm saying? And Soul Con, Cat's been trying to get him back. I think Beasley was trying to get him to come back too, and a lot of people were trying to get him to come back, but he just wanted to battle me. So,
let's talk history right quick. Now, you said something that was interesting. This battle was supposed to happen a long time ago. Are we talking about the Grind Time era, of course, right?
I guess because, like, you know, his thing is he says, like, I couldn't get the matches I wanted. Like, he was calling out, like, Conceited. He wanted to battle everyone and Sons, right?
Conceited at Duckham, though. Let's keep it real, Diz. Conde won that smoke.
I mean, you can look at it like that, but you could also look at it like if you see the timeline now, like, Conde has no reason to even talk to him. So, I mean, if Conde ended up not becoming anything, yeah, it would have made sense to say that, like, this fool ducked him and didn't end up doing shit, but Conde did the right thing and didn't take a battle he didn't need. It's the same with Dumbfounded. I think Soul Con was just out of his league already trying to battle people that were really big and no one wanted to battle him, but there was people like me that he didn't go after. And if he would have just went after me, the battle would have happened, like how he called me out right now. This is why the battle is happening, because, well, he had this whole, you know, you'll probably see, like, this thing where he's saying, like, he's seen on Watch Organic say that he's supposed to learn how to transition his music. And I don't know. I guess he got inspired from that. But
oh boy,
the reality of the situation is, like, that's kind of a lie. Like, it's probably, like, part of it. I'm not denying that. Maybe that got him thinking. But, you know, I dissed him, like, 3 weeks before the offer came to me online when I say, you know, back in the day, me versus him would have been better, but now he'd get ripped apart. 3 weeks later, I get a call from King of the Dot saying Soul Con want to battle me. So he sat there and thought about it. I think that's kind of why he's trying to hide that. He literally thought about it for like a month, so he probably wrote his ass off and then felt like he was ready and then had them hit me up about it. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Now, Diz, would you agree that in the Grind Time era, Soul Con was a bigger name than you? Is it safe to say that?
He was never a bigger name than me, but I will give him this. He did have a battle that kind of transcended everybody else's battle, was the QP battle at the time. So while Soul Con didn't have a bigger name than me and Thesaurus and a lot of the people that were active at the time, he produced really huge results beyond people's capabilities because of the timeline type of things that he did. He battled people that pretty much created a storyline for him, like QP and Fox and all them. So it was kind of like, he went from Fox to QP. He was building up to get to Conceited. So he had a storyline going, and that created more excitement around his battles, which I was creating at the same time too. I had huge battles like the Organic battle, but it never took off like him versus QP. You know what I'm saying? Just him, like, kind of ripping into all his Sons was, like, a big moment back then. You hear me? Like, it was, like, kind of like the big Gerald thing.
Right.
Well, there was those moments in the new era, but back then it was kind of that moment when he said, fuck all you guys, fuck you, and all that shit, but you're cool.
Let me ask you this. The reason I asked you that question, right, because it sounded like you were eager to battle him back in the day compared to now, that he wants to battle you more than you want to battle him. That's the reason I was saying that, though.
It's true. I mean, my motivation to go after him is different now. I mean, I'm more reserved towards him than I usually was back in the day, but I think it's better because I think I would have made strategic mistakes back then and just kind of just went off like a loose cannon on him. and gave him opportunities and openings to capitalize on. Rather, now with my experience, he's not going to have that.
Are you also looking at it like this? Like, okay, so kind of, you know, you was on Grind Time. I know you was on Grind Time New York when you battled Cortez. I remember the 2-on-2 with Zim and DNA and all that. And you went to URL for a couple of times. You know, you battled Deacon Frost, you bodied Fox, got them out of here. And you fell back while I was still carrying the baton when Grind Time merged to King of the Dot. Is that how you look at it also?
No, I don't look at it like that. I look at it okay. Like, geographically, he was where he was supposed to be. He had access to things we didn't. Like back then, it was obvious. Obviously, he was more compelled to end up on Smack because he was in the middle of it. They had an event in Fat Beats where he worked.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So he was, yes. It was all close to him. Like he had to get into it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and the thing is Smack didn't have that whole, we're number one and everybody else can't compete with us kind of like they do have. Like mm-hmm. Now, back then, it was just everything was on the same level, really.
Right.
And there wasn't really this crazy gap in, like, you know what I'm saying, in status that there is now. So, you know, it wasn't like this big plus that he went over there. It was just kind of like, okay, he went over there. And to be honest with you, like, most of the talent back then was still, like, on Grind Time and places like that. It took a while for Smack's
That's
talent
true.
To develop and become way better, you know what I'm saying? But they still had, like, legends.
I don't mean to cut you off. But it's funny you say that, though, Diz, because I don't think a lot of people know what you just said, Diz. I don't think a lot of people know the history to what you just said about it took a while for them to, you know what I'm saying, they had Grind Time. DNA, let's be real, DNA started in Grind Time before URL. Let's call it what it is.
When these guys
Cortez.
Started, I mean, you got to know, like, I'm still DNA's biggest battle he's ever had in his life. So
I agree with that.
And that transfer, when I took him to King of the Dot, like, that was kind of me giving the power to King of the Dot because it was my decision to battle to happen there because DNA was scared to come to LA at that point, and I had already battled Swave, so, like, I just came back from New York, so I was trying to battle him in Cali, and he didn't want to do it there, and then so we just decided neutral territory. So once that happened and Drake came in, that was kind of also the return after that. Mook and Lux showed up because they're kind of – they capitalized off opportunity. They were waiting for the shit to blow up to get back in it. That's how I looked at it with that. But that battle was still his biggest shit ever, and it wasn't on Smack. Like, all these battles he's done since, like, with K-Shine and millions of other battles, they still haven't even surpassed that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He still hasn't passed that battle up, Letterman.
Yeah.
That was damn near a decade ago. But
that's
if you look at in comparison to me, that's, like, my fifth biggest battle. You hear me?
I think it's dicey, man. And if I interview SoCal, hopefully I get a chance to. Gotta be honest, Ocon. I would not take disaster. You've been gone for 7 years.
The thing is, you're trying to take a big dog.
I
get it, Letterman. It's a double-edged sword for him because, you know, there's a lot of things to say about me. I'm a heel. People are going to want to hear him diss me. Like, they're going to overreact to a lot of the shit. You'll see the first round is going to be damn near unstoppable from him. You know what I mean? It's just how it is. Like, unless he's trash, which I don't think he never was. So I just don't see how he could be. This is not like Cassidy, bro. Somebody who's never battled in his life.
True. Good point.
He wanted to prove to everybody that he could actually battle, and he couldn't. Like, he came to the event. He couldn't do it. They had to create a little fucking scenario where he controlled it for him to fucking get his shit off. I don't think SoCon's like that. SoCon's already been – he just has to get back into it. It's like a muscle memory thing. I think his first – he might be shaky the first 8 bars. Who knows?
But I can't shoot this. Against you, though. I mean, listen, I know it's a good pay date for SoCon to get a battle against you, but that's the only thing I can look at it.
Like,
we're just talking about, you know.
Material to go against anybody else. He's lucky against me because, look,
that's
bro,
true.
He has the whole Iron Solomon thing to, like, answer to. Like, oh, you talked about my people. Blah. He's going to be going off about that. And, like, there's just so many parallels. Like, if he would have battled somebody else, he wouldn't have... I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to be really fucking good, and people are underestimating him. But in my opinion, like, whenever it's a legendary battle, you know how I come. You know how I show up to real storylines. You know there's a difference for me because I put battle rap in 3 different categories, like my off-season battles and then overseas battles and then my real legendary battles. And, like, friendly games are not really – like, when I do friendly games versus mid-tier dudes or even top-tier dudes, they're just friendly games. You know what I'm saying? If they
right.
have no storyline, they're friendly games. Like, K-Rock was a friendly match. You know what I'm saying? We was smoking weed before. We was hanging out. You know what I mean? We went up there. We just fucked around. I had no desire to mutilate him. Those type of battles I'm going to avoid from now on.
Okay.
Unless I do a lot of serious battles and then I could do that. But the storyline thing that still sticks with Iron Solomon, with Dumbfounded, with No Can Do, even with Swave, everybody, DNA, all the battles that I've done that have storylines leading up to them have been the battles that people want to see. And this is kind of one of those things.
Well, let's go ahead then. You and Danny Myers had no storyline, Diz, but it was one of the best battles this year, my G.
To be honest with you, I agree with you in a sense. Yeah, you're speaking in a sense of directly hands-on. There's no like direct timeline. But
I love that battle.
Because he's a West Coast guy. I'm
true,
a West Coast guy.
True.
He's from a different era. And it was two eras clashing from the West, and he's part of my movement, like my group and what I do, like what we do like together. So I think like that battle had like that's the reason why I snapped on him, because there's a storyline to it. If you look at that battle, he did great, but the things that I'm talking about are going to stay forever. They're not like punchlines. You know what I'm saying? They're things that are absolutely factual things, and that's kind of what's going to happen to him. And he could try to rebuttal all of it, but the truth is things are going to be said to him that are just factual from all different angles. And I don't think he could take nothing from me, bro. He could just play off to the stereotype that people follow and all the normal shit people say about me, and he'll probably get reaction. But he can't really say nothing to me or take nothing from me, bro. I've been here. I've put in more work than anybody, bro. There's really nothing.
You know what's funny, though? You never left us, you know.
What?
You never left us, bro. Like, you never left us.
I never left, bro. And not only have I never left, like, ever, like, since 2000. Like, before YouTube, before everything, like, Mook and Lux and a lot of these guys, they took, like, 6-year breaks and 7-year breaks. I really just didn't even take a year break ever. The only time I slowed down was recently a little bit because of life, man. And to be honest with you, like, in the 2015 when I got banned, obviously, but then I battled Cassidy. I still said, fuck everybody. They banned me from every league, and I went and I got Cassidy. And then I went overseas, and I battled, like, 3 times that year. So I battled, like, 3 or 4 times that year, even when I was banned.
Wow. Wow.
And I still made a shitload of money when I was banned. Like, they couldn't stop me from eating. And
wow.
You know, because I run my own shit. Like, that's what a lot of people don't know, even how I set up all my battles. I set up my own battles. I negotiate my own shit. I go to other countries. I set up my whole shit. Like, I don't
know.
Well,
this is, when you're a legend, my nigga, that's causing a territory. But a lot of people can't do what you and a couple other brothers can do. I am. You know what I'm saying? You earned that. You put in pain in this shit. I always say this, I don't give a damn who likes you, who doesn't like you, bro. I'll respect you. And I'm saying this live on this goddamn show because
I respect
what you done for the culture.
Your neck out too, like for shit, like even with the Cassidy shit, like people were shitting on you, but like you're just being honest, bro.
Yeah.
You're just being honest, though. You was just being like I tried to hold back in the beginning, but it got to the point where it's like, come on, man, I'm gonna say some shit again. Like this shit weak. Like, come on.
Listen,
like,
I said this numerous times. If there's a Cassidy battle 10 times. I still got this winning. If they battle tomorrow, I'm
still
picking this.
I don't get how they prefer that shit, but, like, I guess that's, you know, there was a lot of variables that factored into, like, me having a shitty performance the second day, even though I still got off better shit than him. But it was just, you know, I'm going to be real with you. It was just the unprofessional sloppiness of everything that took me out of my element.
Yeah.
Just because that kid, he can't adjust, man. Like, that's why when he came to smack, I was like, what is he going to do? I kept on putting out, like, tweets saying, like, I don't know, he's going to do some crazy shit, because I just don't see him adjusting to the crowd. I give him respect because he didn't do no crazy shit, and he tried to do it. He was crazy enough to try to do it. I think we're about to get cut off. But
you good, you good, you good.
But, like, I thought he was going to do something crazy and smack, because I knew he can't save himself from the booze that happened. He's going to rap about crazy shit. Bro, when he came to me, he was rapping about homos and butts and sucking dicks and priests, and like people started booing, and I didn't see it happening. And then when he came back, he got booed every time. So, I mean, I was right. Like, You know what Cass is going to do from now on? He's going to create little rooms where it's only his friends, and that's the only way he can battle. He can't come back to battle rap, bro. He can't, because the only shit that's even salvageable in his career is his battle with me, and it's trash. Like, it's just...
Right.
It's right. Still, but it's like, it's what he could say he got away with, and it's just him and his friends and the billionaire threatening me, telling me he's going to sue everybody, and just forcing me to rap when I don't want to rap. Like, imagine, like, not even wanting to spit, and then fools just being like, you have to spit now, or I'm suing everybody. Nobody's getting paid, canceling the battle forever. It was just whack shit, and I was too hyper and excited for, you know, just to be part of the big moment that I didn't
right.
sit back and put my balls on the table and be like, you know what, fuck this battle, like, fuck you then, like, and then call his bluff. I couldn't do it. Even though if I called his bluff, I guarantee you we would have scheduled it for a week later and it would have been a sick-ass battle. But they forced it that morning, you know what I'm saying? But anyways, the point is like, SoulCon, you know, as far as him making a return, I don't see the Cassidy or Cannabis or the Joe Budden thing with
right.
him. Even though he's a musician now, he's going to snap back into it somehow. If he doesn't, and it's like some Enes shit, like, I don't know, and Enes is still nice, but obviously Enes is visibly different from how he used to be.
Of course,
so is,
definitely.
So is Jay Mills, and I love both of them. They're both some agree. Of my favorite battlers.
I totally agree with that.
They're visibly different, right? Like, if SoulCon has that effect to where he's still nice, they're still good, but they don't have that shine to them. Remember that shine that SoulCon has?
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm thinking he might not have. You know what I mean? He might not have that crazy shine that he had where he could say something so easy and simple and people will react. I don't think that's there anymore.
My concern is this, and you hit it on the head earlier when you said that, okay, his first round, people might – you want to use the gas word, nostalgic purposes, because we haven't seen SoulCon in so many years.
Yeah.
What's going to happen after that first round is my concern for him.
It's an unlimited,
you know what I'm saying?
It's an unlimited battle, by the way. There's no time restriction. But
this is up your alley, though. You love this, though. You love this. Tell
oh,
you.
Yeah, yeah. There's no time restriction. Like, there's nothing. Like, you got to get in the cage with me. This is the thing I tell people. I still give DNA respect for standing in the cage with me for that third round. But he was making up words and he was talking gibberish at one point. But he still stayed in there and he like, I smacked it and macked it in and grabbing a flap it in. And he was doing shit. He was trying to stay in there and he stayed in there. But, you know, the thing is that's not going to work, because that was a Canadian crowd that was still young and they still haven't seen no crazy battles. It was 2010, 11. They were still new to the scene. They didn't even, that crowd was a baby crowd. So they were just fucking surprised when they heard anything he said. You know what I mean? So,
this. Hold on. You're making it sound like you're shortchanging DNA a little bit, though. That's a classic battle.
If you go, it's a classic battle energy-wise and back and forth. But if you transcript this shit, bro, you'll be angry. You'll be angry at yourself. I'm not playing. If I tell you, I'm not lying to you. Like 40 different made-up words and shit. Like, it's more than that. Like, it's kind of crazy, bro. Like, it's.
I'm gonna revisit that. I'm gonna revisit that battle. I've watched that battle a long time, but I watched that battle like 6-7 times.
40 or 50 incohesive sentences that just you cannot say in a conversation. They're not. I'm busting the Ray Lell, and it gets to a point where. Anyway, the point is, I think SoulCon, he gonna have to fill that void with actual bars now, because it's a very seasoned crowd. It's the Oakland crowd. It's people that are fans, so they're there to hear very intricate, unique bars. And they're probably expecting more from SoulCon, because he's used to doing like very simple one-liners. You know what I mean? A lot of his shit didn't age good at all. And that's just being honest. At all.
You think he's looking to go in this battle that he really has a chance to beat you, or he's just like testing the waters, though? And I don't think testing the waters with a person like you is, I'm going to test the waters with disaster. Like,
I think everybody does go into the battle with a sense that they're going to beat me, because if they don't, I'm going to eat their confidence alive. I mean, that's what I think keeps people alive in battles with me, is their confidence and them being able to play off that they're getting fucked up. You know what I mean? Cassidy was incredible at it, again. But a lot of people are really good at that. Verb was good at that. Like, just looking like they're not getting fucked up. I flipped Verb's whole first round when I battled him. And I know deep down inside he was like, what the fuck is going on? But like on the outside, he's like, man, this thing's shit. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of one of those things. Like, if he's going to be able to poke your face his way through these three rounds of just bar after bar after bar after bar, and you know, it's another, it's Danny Myers part two. We continue in this new 2.0 version of me.
Did you like your Danny Myers though? Did you like the battle?
Hell yeah, but my first and third round are incredible. Ain't nobody
fucking
with
it. It was.
Fucking with those. And then like my third round, the whole scientific thing, like, I mean, people can say what they want about it. There's guys hitting me up from like different colleges saying it's the most mind blowing shit they've ever heard because they're studying theory right now. And, you know, it's just different, connecting different bridges, man. I fucking opened up a whole wormhole with that fucking round. So I might do some other shit to this guy like that. Who knows?
What's the motivation for you and SoulCon?
For that? Oh, for the SoulCon thing?
Yeah.
Honestly, like, right now, it's just kind of, I don't battle that much, so I got to fill in that kind of gap that I leave behind. Because, look, last time, you know, my battle with Danny Myers and Cali Smooth at the beginning of the year were all four incredible rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to deliver, like, three crazy rounds right now.
How many times have you had to reinvent yourself, Diz? You've been doing this for a long time. How many times have you had to reinvent yourself?
That's an amazing question. I think that's what a lot of people need to really look back on with me and see, man, there's about like 10 different versions of me. From the first version of me when I started, when I was younger, and then I was a backpacker type of like 30 seconds on beat rapper, mm-hmm. and I would hop around and swing my arms and shit, and then it just went into street shit, into the pit style that I was doing. And then from there, I turned into WRC Diz, which was a
yeah.
whole new fucking version of me. Like, I was trying to adjust to it. I'd, like, try to go from the street shit to try to adjust with all these other kids. And then from there, the written era started, remember, in 2008. So then that was a new version of me when
mm-hmm.
I battled Thesaurus. That was a
mm-hmm.
whole new, again, I upgraded. Then from there, it took me like another, probably like, because that was in 2008, it took me like another 3-4 years, and I evolved again like around DNA time.
Wow.
And I evolved again against Cannabis in 2012. And then slowly, like, towards the mass shit, and there was like kind of me where I went in my down period, you know what I'm saying, 2014-15.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in 2016, I reinvented myself versus Iron Solomon and Dumbfounded after all that shit happened. You know what I mean? I came back
wow.
with that. And after I did that with all those new characters of myself that I created, I came back and I did the Oxymiron shit, and I went to Smack again with Rock, which was like a really great turnout and an amazing event. But people online think it wasn't that great of a battle. But, you know, it was cool for what it was. It was a great period of time just crossing over and just being back on URL. So for me, it was a successful event. And then now, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm back like a whole different version of me. Like, this version of me right now is the most upgraded version I could say. So I'm ready to
do
some damage.
If you look at your battle 7 years ago, the disaster of that battle, Paul Rich, right? And the
yeah,
disaster in 2018.
There's too many mistakes, bro. I look back, I'm like, man, here we go. And like, I'll see like this one part where like, how many, I'm gonna grab you. And like, I'm just like, oh man, this shit, I'm just rapping all fast like an idiot. Like, there's just too much shit where I stumble over words, then I like disconnect a sentence, jump over, forget like a whole bar, and then connect it with another bar. Just sloppy ass shit. Like,
let's stay there for a second. Is this sloppy because you're so intense when you're in battles though? You turn into a whole different monster?
No, I mean, it's because I went like a real, like probably like 90% of my career freestyling all my written. Like, everything that I wrote, I show up to the battle and freestyle it.
Yo,
Diz, it in a
certain way. You used to get chastised for that, you know. People used to chastise you that because they used to be like, yo, Diz is so nice with a pen. Like, why is he going to the freeze so much? But then what's ill is you going to the freeze, we'll go right back into the written. So, and sometimes we don't
yeah,
even know
I mean,
sometimes.
I'm used to doing that like it's nothing, bro. Like, people... Like, when I battled Danny, everyone was like, oh, my God, he did, like, four rebuttals in a row. They didn't notice that I rebutted his whole round. But I just interweaved it into the fucking round. If you go back and listen
That's
to it.
That's crazy.
I'm rebutting everything he's saying with full paragraphs. Like, first he said, you weren't standing with me. I was like, how was I going to stand with you and not hit a Beasley and try to set some shit up? And I, like, fucking responded with a whole paragraph, then responded with a whole other paragraph to another thing he said. And it was literally just paragraphs of rebuttals, not just a fucking line, just taking the line and rebuttaling it. I'm like at this point because that form of rebuttaling, like, shout out to Danny because he's doing it, but that shit's for me was the first stage, and it was a long time ago. Like, I'm at a point now where I'm going to answer you with a concept and fuck over your whole entire point that you were trying to make, not just the bar, but like fuck the point you were trying to make. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you, the point you're trying to make is nothing because I have this much content to put up against it, to stack up against it. And that's kind of what's going to happen with SoulCon. Again, probably most keywords he's going to touch on are going to be responded back to with paragraphs. That's why he needs to be careful what he says to me. If he says anything to me that I can remotely see coming, he's fucked.
Oh, boy.
You know what's funny, though? People don't think there's going to be Battle of the Night, though, for some reason, because a lot of my co-hosts said that he feels that SoulCon doesn't stand a chance at all.
I mean,
like,
you never know. You never know. You never know. That's kind of one of those situations where you don't. But, I mean, the level I'm at right now, when, like I said, when I take a battle serious and I'm literally promoting an event and I'm the main guy, like, coming back and, like, I'm bringing, like, a big event to the fucking table, like how the Oxy shit and all that, like,
yes.
I'm going to, like, take it serious. Like, the Oxy shit should have turned out a lot different also, but, you know, we ended up battling in the middle of Russia. That crowd was just crazy. That crowd reacted to every bar that was said, and they didn't know what we were saying, you know what I'm saying? But you look back on it. But, like, if you take anything that's big, I'm going to take it serious. You know what I mean? Unless something happens to fuck up what I'm doing, it's just I'm going to rap on a high level. So, I don't know. Like, he's been gone too long to come weak, and he's been gone too long for you to expect him to be fucking godlike. I get it.
See, all right, so, let me give you a prime example. I interviewed Danny Myers earlier today, right? And, Diz, you know your history. You remember Amzilla, right?
Who?
Amzilla?
Yeah, of course I remember Amzilla.
Yeah, of
He's
course.
A great freestyler.
He hasn't battled in years, and Danny battled him over the weekend, and I'm like, dog, you
Danny battled Amzilla? Yo, Danny
yeah, Danny in Orlando.
Yo, that's amazing. Yo, shout out to Amzilla, man. He was always a great freestyler, man.
My point is this. Like, when these guys haven't battled in a long time, and you're battling Danny Myers, who's frequent, you're battling a guy like Disaster, like, I think you should take war battles. I don't think you should jump in the fire so quick.
You do have a point. I mean, but, like, at the end of the day, I don't know. People will use that and just be like, all right, this guy stands no chance. So then he'll start saying randomly dope shit, and
right.
People will be like, oh, he's incredible. So, like, I feel like people should also be careful how they rate him because he's not a fucking kid. Like, this is not a fucking childish
romance.
This is not a safe battle rapper. This is not somebody you battle where you're going to hear, like, a gun bar or you're going to hear threats about you that are empty the whole battle and then go home, both get paid, and just have a good time and it's unjudged. It's not one of those battles. These are these type of battles where someone's going to get cut badly in it and there's going to be an obvious difference. And he's going to attempt to go for the jugular because that's what that kid does. You know what I mean? And he's a very, very, very ruthless fucking kid. That whole smiley...
Yeah, I don't fall for that. Yeah.
That whole pussy attitude that he pushes forward is just like a... You know what? He's a wolf in sheep clothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's SoulCon. He's like the best interpretation of, like, wolf in sheep clothing. He appears like a little fucking sheep, but he's really on some...
Listen, I always tell people this. If people go back and watch SoulCon versus Deacon Frost... Go look at Mav's face. Go look at Cortez's face. Howl the Don. They're in amazement. They're standing in amazement where SoulCon is rapping and stuff.
Yeah, because SoulCon embarrassed that kid. And he's wearing crazy shit. No, actually,
against,
he was just in a suit for that battle. But
against Fox. I guess Fox, he wore the white
he's
suit.
He's always in some crazy shit. I'm pretty sure he'll be in a suit versus me. Like, whatever.
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to go that route. In this climate of battle rap, I don't think he's going to do that at all, man.
The thing is with me, I've been around for so long, like, I cover all variables when I go into a battle. So if he's going to do that, I'm ready for it. He comes in a suit. He comes in any way, I'm going to kind of be ready for it, like, unless he just wears some outrageous shit, which he's not going to do in this battle because I'll fuck him over. I'm the wrong person to leave around for three unlimited rounds freestyling about an outfit. Like, if he shows up looking crazy and I have three rounds to just play around with him, like, I'm going to develop entire concepts by the time I get to the third round about how the fuck he showed up.
So, explain this to me. You're the battle rapper here. How is the writing process for unlimited rounds, though? Like, when do you stop?
You don't. You keep writing up until the battle.
Good Lord, man. But how do you put it? Like, okay, first round, I'm going to go 7 minutes. Second round, I'm going 8 minutes. Like, how does that work, this?
I mean, I don't really like it. It's not about going that long. It's about knowing when the motherfucker's done. Like, this is what it was about. When we came up doing it, because I still revert back to the original, like, craft. And the way the cloth was put together was you show up and rap wherever you at. Your homies are on the block. They call you over to rap. Whoever runs out of bars first is done. It don't matter how dope your first bar was or your second bar or if you had a dope fucking 30 seconds or minute of rapping. We used to spit, and then whoever just couldn't rap no more lost. And that was just always the most understood thing because people ran out of dope shit to say always. There was always a guy that was and the proof was in the pudding because these people never became shit. But back in the day when we was doing this, I'm talking about early 2000s, there was always some fucking hood superstar that was just absolutely incredible. This guy that nobody could touch. You battled him, he had incredible punchlines. But if you let him go for like 10 minutes, he started talking about door and I'll pull out the four and I'll check the score. And that's what it becomes. They run out of bars, and these people never became shit because I feel like anybody could put together a good round nowadays. Like, it's made simple. Like, battle rap is easy that a lot of people feel like they could participate. Fans are becoming battlers. Every other day you got some idiot who thinks he's a battler. And it's just, you know, it's because it's made simple. Back when we used to do it, you couldn't do that. Like, you couldn't be the average fan trying to get into it. And it wasn't it wasn't easy like that for everybody to do. It required skill. It was a thing that if you were a battle rapper, that was a unique thing. Like, damn, you know how to do that? Like, nah, we could never do that because, you know, people like DNA were regular back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, regulars, like No Can Do. People like that were really, really scary back in the day. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. Shit changed, but regardless, you're going to get everything from me. So, you're going to get the new era, old era, middle era, all era.
Would you say you and Pat Stay are the most successful dudes from King of the Dot by far?
Yeah, obviously.
Okay. That's a no-brainer, right?
The numbers show that. Anyway.
Right.
The numbers that we've brought to King of the Dot absolutely reflect that. So there's really not much to debate in that category.
Do you think you and Pat Stay gets talked about enough? Y'all battle you guys had that doesn't get talked enough.
It was kind of weird. I felt weird about it. I look at the comments like back in the day. I haven't really looked at the comments recently, but back when I looked at it, I had a lot of support from the people in it. So I never felt too crazy about it. But I mean, I don't like myself in that battle. That was a really dark period. That was when I was telling you about that period of time when I battled him. Mm. That was around the Total Slaughter shit, and then when the mass shit happened and all that. So like that whole was just I when I look back, that was probably the foggiest, wackest period of my life since like I was a teenager. You know what I mean? Since like, you know what I mean, like 2000 or some shit. So
I think you and Verb too doesn't get talked about enough.
Which was another great battle, but it's too short. See, again, that kind of plays into what I'm saying. I would never take a SoulCon battle on 2 or 3 minute rounds because it's too much of a legendary battle. Me and Verb, you know, the one thing I regret about me and Verb is that it's 2 minute rounds, bro. 1:30, I think it's like 1:30. I think it's 90 second or it's either 9 second or 2 minutes. And it was his fault. You know what I'm saying? He was tripping out and he didn't want to go.
Come on, this people, this. We know your career,
we're professionals, bro. We're professionals.
You will swap. You're from the era where you just rap. You don't give two rats ass about a time limit. You don't care about 3 minutes, 3:30. I don't give a damn about that, bro. I'm gonna rap.
No, because that shit for amateurs. Look, this is how I look at it, man. I'm gonna be real with you. I look at it like tiers, like the tiers in battle rap. I think the way people should rap according to duration should be according to tiers. Now let's go. I don't think a PG dude should ever rap 2 or 3 minutes. We're not trying to hear all that. You're a young, coming up guy. Listen, you still coming up. You still new. We want to hear your best punchlines. Gather up the best shit that you could do. Put it together like we used to because we had to go through that. Bro, we started with 1 minute rounds. Who the fuck are they? Like, we started with 1 minute rounds. They could do the same thing. It's building it up. And you build up stamina to become you feel like you're ready for the 2 minutes, you go for the 2 minutes when you're ready to really fill that 2 minutes. Not when these guys, some of these PG guys are rapping unlimited rounds. That's insane. I don't think anybody should be allowed to rap unlimited unless they, like, grandfathered in the battle rap. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you should start. And then I think, like, normal top-tier battles should be 3 minutes. And mid-tier battles should be 2 minutes. And the GZs and all those type of things and PGs should be like 1 minute rounds, bro. It shouldn't wrap longer than that. You know what I mean? Like, and that will make it more fun and move quicker. And then you could put more PG dudes on the card with the big guys. Because if their battles are quick, people will enjoy them more and they'll move by fast and they'll get a better representation around people rather than having these full-blown events based on them when they're rapping for like 20 minutes and drowning people out and they're not even built for this shit. Like, these guys are not seasoned for it. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, like I said, bro, you look back on Philly, you look at Reed, you look at Rex, you look at Moose, you look at Lux, you look at a lot of these guys, they come from that. Like, because we were going through the same shit out here. That's how you know it was real. Like, we was going through that same shit. You have to come with 100 rounds to the battle.
Yeah.
The fuck do you mean you're done? What do you mean you're done? You're done? Like, you're what? Like you're laughed at if you finished early, man. People will start going boo, and then the other dude kills you, like, because he still has a billion bars. So, yeah.
Wow.
It's not about having a lot of filler. It's about having real content that you could stretch out and concepts and thought processes that are actually keeping people entertained. You know what I mean? If I didn't have the ability to do that, I wouldn't have kept people glued throughout that third round with Danny. That's just like a 10-minute round, Danny.
You still love battle rap?
Huh?
You still love battle rap?
That's a great question, man. You know, after almost two decades, man, I think anybody that can relate to me could agree. We gotta always make ourselves fall in love with it again, man. But you know, we've seen a lot come and go and shit change, but you know, I always find love for it. You know, it's little things like that. I think once this event happens, I think I'll be more back in that mode where I feel like, you know, we're building something again. I think I lost a lot of my passion because we lost our home base, Letterman.
There's
not no hate to the East or the Midwest.
Well, no, I feel what you're saying.
We just don't have our shit. Like, we have to travel places. Like, Geechee and Danny have to go dominate all over the place when they could have just been bodying shit in their state this whole time. So I think we need a circuit here where we can start growing our dudes and we don't need to rely on other events.
Should King of the Dot do 2-3 events in Cali every year?
I think they should all do a bunch of events here. And then
every league, right?
And then eventually we should have our own shit. You know?
Wow.
Because it's like, you know what I mean? They're all foreigners over here. You know what I mean? But, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, because, like, at the end of the day, like, the way we, like, our shit, like, the Fresh Coast and L.A., how the scene and the battle scene out here was a different scene. It was birthed in a different way. It came about a different way, and it doesn't come from acapella battling, really, the LA scene. It was influenced by Smack a little bit, but it really comes from Supernatural and Juice and that. We're an extension of that, you know what I'm saying? Which is still homage to the East Coast and the Midwest and other places, but that's kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Now you look back on those situations, like, those are what evolved into our scene and people out here and the guys that were rapping, like, otherwise. And there's just a lot of names. If I start going through them, there's just people that were over here that helped build it and what it became, and then it just kind of just cut off. So my whole thing is just bringing that back, man. So that kind of excites me and motivates me, man.
How much did you enjoy listening to B-Dot's third round against Emerson Kennedy?
I haven't heard it for a while, but that was a fire round for sure. They both fucking were amazing in that battle.
Mm.
They both are incredible in that battle.
What battle are you looking forward to on Tom Business card? What other battles are you looking forward to?
Mine, obviously. There's a lot of good battles. Let me see.
I like Oops and B-Dot. I like Oops
obviously,
and B-Dot a lot.
It's going to be insane. That's going to be Pass and fucking Danny is going to be crazy. RX and Myverse.
Yes. That'll be a dope battle. Yep. The ladies get RX get busy. Yeah, she gets busy. She gets busy and stuff, man.
That battle is going to be crazy. Also, Fredo and Ness. There's a lot of slept-on battles there. I'm excited. My boy Act is battling Birch Belvedere. You know,
yeah.
I can't wait to see them go at it. That's kind of, again, another nostalgic battle because they were around the same time. And Birch was, like, part of the Suns back then. And he was around.
Yes.
Like, the whole pit thing and Conceited came out in the pit where Act was battling. So, I feel like that's a really good kind of storyline, little battle that we could create over there. And then It's a good card, man. All the battles are good, man.
do you and Torque make sense?
You know what? They want to do it, but sometimes I think about it and I don't know, man. I'm going to be real with you, man. I'm kind of getting fed up with Lux and Mook and them not ever wanting to battle in California in their life. What are they going to fucking retire and just... These guys, man, like, do they give a fuck about, like the disrespect? But yeah, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to, like, legendary matches and things that the fans that are going to create history and move the culture forward, man. And I'm just going to kind of go for those after Soul Calm and see what happens.
Well, if that's the case, people wanted to see you A-Ward for the last couple of years. Is you've been serving them.
What do you mean? I gave him a shot. You weren't around for that?
Of course I was. You gave him a shot, and he didn't jump on it.
What happened?
He said
8 weeks wasn't enough because he had some little he had some little Christ tour that he was doing.
But this, you get the battle to happen. No, you can make that battle happen if you wanted to. You can make that battle happen if you wanted to.
I know.
You have the power to do that.
Crazy, and like, I'll be real with you, man. Like, Hayward's going to take a lot of time out of, like, growing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how. I'm going to be real with you, man. I've said this already, and I shouldn't be saying this again, man, because he might not show up to this event if I keep saying this. But,
oh, boy.
Like, Illmac is going to shred him, bro. I don't think there's going to be a reason
for
me ever. Man, I heard his shit. That's why I'm saying that. That ain't no prediction. I don't see what the fuck A-Ward can humanly do. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't think it's possible. He gonna literally, no pun intended, need a miracle. And like, just so like, I'm not gonna battle him. Like, he's gonna be dusted after this event. And him and Madflex, like, he kind of lost to Madflex. I don't know if he beat Madflex. That was a really close battle.
That was a good battle. That was debatable. Him and Sharon was debatable too. It was close.
You having debatable with our up and coming guys. Like, so like, I don't know. It's like, if you're ready for me yet. So I might be jumping the gun on him like Joe Nye and just end his fucking life.
Yo, hold on. Stay right there for a second. How much fun did you have in that Jonas battle?
Hands down, the most fun I've ever had in a battle.
I mean, this, you kind of made it obvious the way you was moving, man. That was, like, bad, man.
The way I was moving?
Yeah,
you know what
man.
Look, this is the thing, man. Me and the homies, man, like, we roast everybody everywhere we go, me, Ty, and Key, and they were behind me in the battle. It kind of felt like the most time where I was just hanging out in the car. Like, if you look, they're behind me the whole time. So the whole setup, how we're sitting, is like we in a whip. And, like, it's just the same shit. Like, I felt like this dude was, like, standing in front of the car. And we're in the car making fun of him, and he can't hear us or some shit. Or he could hear us from the outside. It just felt like just a roast session. And I just I don't think I'll ever have that much fun in a battle again.
That was bad, man. Hey, you know what's funny, though? Let's keep it real. People thought Jonas was going to beat you, Diz.
What? They were saying he was going to wash me.
Yeah, man.
They said Norb did a blog. That's how confident he was. Oh, man, I remind Norb of this shit all the time. He did a whole blog. He said, I'm confident Jonas is going to easily, like, win this 3-0. Like, he's just the new version of Diz. And everybody was saying he's the new version of me with punchlines. And
did that piss you off?
I would never be able to go on Smack. He would make it on Smack. Like, he's the real deal. And then he just came there, got his ass beat, man. Because people don't realize it's two different fucking forms of battling. Smack, what they do over there and what that crowd likes is not going to work in the rest of the world. So once he stepped out of that little bubble, he just died. And I guess that, like, I came like Lazarus. Everyone was looking at him like, all right, man, like, you know, here we go. And then I just started making fun of his homies. Like, when we started getting on his homies, that's when I think the crowd
it got dark. It got dark, man. It got so dark.
You see, and that goes back to the type of rebuttals I do. Letterman, I was like, oh, man, you said some shit about I'm jealous of you. I was like, hell yeah, I'll never have taxi cab drive. I said, I'll never have drivers like you. The taxis drive you to the venue, then park the whip and walk in and stand behind you. That shit was kind of, like, again, a next level of rebuttal where they were both looking at me like they wanted to kill me. The taxi drivers behind them, his brothers. They were looking at me crazy. Then I called them the Jonas brothers, the Jonas brothers, and called them Punjabi emojis from the iPhone. And
he was killing that boy, man. That was
him. All his friends, my homies, kept on making fun of his jewelry. The homie was saying he got it from his grandmother's jewelry box, cuz he pulled out his. And they just kept on. I couldn't even hold my face together. Half the time, I was laughing at the shit they were saying. And then once I started pointing at his face and everyone started dying, I think from that point, when I seen Organic and Lush losing it, I knew it was over for him. Like, nobody was able to keep their face together. We was laughing so hard, I don't think the camera will ever capture how that felt. It was a real comedic moment. I need to get back in that Jonai bag for this battle, man. Look at how it reminded me.
He said I got to get that shit when I was
back into that Jonai bag, man.
Come with- is this it for you for the rest of the year? It's your last battle?
Probably, I don't know. We will see what's going to happen, man. But, yeah, like, I don't know. I plan to end this with, like, a serious performance. So I think it'll make up for it, you know, like having the Danny Myers and SoulCon thing. You know, I'm going to end the year with only 7 crazy rounds, but I'm going to make sure these 3 rounds are memorable till you know, January.
Okay.
So I'm going to make sure, like, when I start off the year, I'm going to have a big battle. So, but, yeah, I'll probably end that because it's going to come out in December. So, you know what I mean?
Because
the end of November will probably come out first week of December. So, yeah, it's probably be a wrap after the SoulCon shit for a while. But I'll be back stronger than ever. And I'm just proud of the West because, you know, we got soldiers out here that are already destroying everything.
I like Saint.
Hey, you know what? We built
like
our team back up slowly.
What do you think about Saint, young boy Saint, though? I think Saint got some promise.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. We got Saint. There's tons of people, man, like, still that are not getting shine yet that you're going to see more, like Dre Vicious and Clutch and a lot of guys that are going to start popping more active. All of them, they just need to get better plates and they'll slowly get more motivated. It's all about motivation. I know my people, man. They just get... they get bored. They don't see hope. They just rap like they don't see hope. When guys start getting motivation like they got on the East, like how motherfuckers keep getting plates, they're going to get better, man. Really, with battle rappers, you just got to give them something to look forward to. That's how the hunger – that's how you drive them. You give them something to be happy about. The motherfuckers work. If you don't, it's just going to – you know, it's really, they're going to stagnate. So that's some real shit. That's been the hardest thing for me to reinvent myself, to keep finding people to make me feel that way. You know what I mean?
That's why I was saying twerk. That's why I said I would love to see you in twerk because I think that'd be a dope battle. I think that'd be a very interesting battle, in my opinion, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, me and twerk will probably end up happening. It was supposed to a million times. So that's supposed to be my next battle for Smack, but I don't know when they're gonna do it. So, but it's probably gonna be my next battle for URL if I go on there. Even though, like I said, man. Trying to take some other shit after the SoulCon shit, man. Let's just see how this one goes.
Yeah, let's see how this goes first.
Because if this storyline shit still working for me the way I want it to, then I'm going to stick to that. If not, then I'll just go back to battling random battles like twerk where I have no correlation with the person. And it's a completely different style and it's a preference. His fans don't think he beat me no matter what I do.
All right.
Imagine convincing one of them.
Yeah, that part, the last part. You know what I mean? This man, I appreciate you always, my brother.
Yeah, man, good looking out, bro. I'm gonna holler at you, man. I'm about
to ready, man. Shout out to my man, Disaster. You already know the vibes, man. PSA podcast, man. It's your boy 3 Letter, man.